Why wasn't the day of resurrection the last day? When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and revealed the glory of his resurrection, why wasn't that the moment of the last judgment? After all, his mission was complete. He had accomplished the suffering and death which liberate from the grave those who are united to him by faith, hope, and love. So why not simply use that moment to bring about the new heavens and the new earth? This was the question on the mind of the apostles on the day of Christ's ascension. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But they did not get the answer they hoped for. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But even if the kingdom was not to come that day, fully and finally, we may still ask, why not? Well, for starters, if that had happened, you and I would never have existed and would have no place in the kingdom. And neither would any of the many billions of people who have come to be since the day of resurrection, and the many billions more whom we may assume will come to be between now and Christ's return on the last day. Moreover, until, as St. Paul has it in his letter to the Romans, the full number of the Gentiles come to Christ and the children of Israel then receive the Messiah with saving faith, there is still work to be done. And that work is the evangelization of the entire human race. Go into the whole world, says the Lord, and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Friends, today the church rejoices in the Great Commission given to us by the Savior at his final appearance to the apostles after his resurrection. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke describes what happened in the interval between Christ's resurrection and ascension. He writes in the first book, Theophilus, the first book being a reference by Luke to his own gospel, and Theophilus being a symbolic name, meaning one who loves God. So, in my gospel, you who love God, I dwelt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. In other words, for 40 days after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus continued teaching the apostles just as he had done during the 3 years of his public ministry. And his purpose was to help them deepen their faith in him, understand fully the meaning of his resurrection, and prepare them for their mission to the nations. But in those 40 days, he appeared not only to the apostles, he also revealed himself to many other disciples, sometimes in groups, both large and small. And most but not all of those people are identified in the Gospels. And in this way, Christ was preparing the young church for the rigors of the work ahead. It is interesting, though, to note that not one of the four Gospels mentions a post-resurrection visit of the Lord Jesus to his dear mother. Should we conclude from this that after he rose from the dead, Christ didn't visit his own mother? Not at all. St. Paul tells us, for example, that the risen Lord appeared to 500 disciples at one time, but this event is not mentioned in any of the four Gospels, meaning that not everything done by Christ during the 40 days is recorded in Holy Scripture. There are long intervals of time in those 40 days when he is not reported being anywhere. And is it so difficult to imagine where he was in those times? With his mother, with Mary, healing the wounds she took with him and for him at the foot of the cross, and preparing her for one final separation of mother and son before their everlasting reunion at the throne of grace. But that reunion is not meant only for mother and son. They will share their bond of love with all who accept the Lord Jesus and his gift of redemption in the obedience of faith. And to bring about this reunion of all the children of God with their Redeemer at the throne of grace, Christ tells his apostles, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. He was lifted up, and he was gone. Only 40 days after returning to them from the grave, he was gone. What must they have felt? Bereft? Bewildered? Abandoned? That is what our own experience tells us they should have felt. Anyone who has ever been separated from one they dearly love understands how the heart is rent with grief by that loss, and tears are the natural reaction to such sundering. But in fact, the apostles were not overcome with grief, and there were no tears. Listen to Luke's account of this moment at the very end of his gospel. "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." So rather than being overcome with grief, they were instead filled with great joy. But how is this possible? Because he departed from them in order to remain with them. "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Even in his glorified body, the Lord Jesus could not personally be present to all people in all places and at all times. But fulfilling the Great Commission requires exactly that he be in all places at all times to all people. His ascension to the Father and their sending of the Spirit allow Christ to be present to every human person in every time and in the most intimate possible ways. And so he remains with us in the Holy Scriptures, in fellowship with other disciples, in the service of the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, and the oppressed, in prayer and praise, and above all, in the breaking of the bread, the most holy Eucharist, in which he gives us his flesh and blood as real food and drink, the medicine of immortality, and the pledge of future glory. Finally, notice how the joy of the apostles was manifested on that ascension day. They worshiped Christ the Lord, and they were continually in the temple praising God. My friends, we exist. We were created and are sustained at every moment for the praise of God's glory. And being a new creation in Christ Jesus allows us to fulfill that purpose as a royal priesthood in worship and praise. Christ departed from us in his physical body in order to remain with us in his mystical body, the church. And so he remains even now in word and sacrament, in service and prayer, and in love made real by hearts conformed to his sacred heart, in faith, hope, and love. And this is the Christian life after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. By our union of faith, hope, and love with Christ in his body, the church, we fulfill the Great Commission Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. Always. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.